Have you ever gotten ice cream from the supermarket and you scoop it out, but it just doesn't have that ice cream parlor taste? Well, guess what? Did you know you can find real, unbelievably creamy ice cream at the grocery store? Yeah, that's right. Tillamook ice cream is made with more cream, so you get smooth, dreamy scoops each time. I'm not going to lie. The flavors are delicious and in family-sized cartons. I love their vanilla bean. Vanilla bean, to me, is the way that you judge anyone's ice cream, and their rich vanilla ice cream made with real crushed vanilla bean seeds is delicious. Or their Oregon strawberry. Oh, I love it. Sweet strawberry ice cream with ripe Oregon strawberry pieces. So, so good. Plus, you got to check out their Mudslide flavor. It's smooth chocolate ice cream with a ribbon of rich fudge and chocolatey chips. Oh, it's so good. I got to go get some ice cream right now. Plus, you know you're in good hands with Tillamook brand. They make over 200 different dairy products, and the brand is farmer-owned and led by dairy experts. Boy, oh boy, I love them all, and you're going to love them too. Whether it's birthday cake, peaches and cream, mint chocolate chip, banana split, or cookies and cream, there is a flavor for you. Find Tillamook ice cream near you at Tillamook.com. That's TillamooK.com.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus.
A mission to find boobs turns into a mission to find love. Take off your pants and listen. Because we saw Milk Money, so you know what that means.
Get Made. I'm your host, Tall John Shear, and today we are talking about the 1994 Melanie Griffith, Ed Harris, rom-com, children's movie about a sex worker and a scientist and really perverted kids. Boy, oh boy, we're going to all break it down, but let me just give you a brief idea of what this plot is. First of all, I'll say this. It feels like this is a film adapted from a very famous French film. It's not. But it feels like, oh, no, of course this works. No, it's a movie about a young boy whose mother died in childbirth, and he longs having a mom. So he also wants to see a real woman naked. So him and his friends raise $100. We'll get into all of that. Go to the city to find a sex worker, find her, and then somehow take her home, and then tries to get her to marry his widowed dad. That's the movie. Wow. Okay. It is a child's film. I think it was made by Disney. And watching it, I am shocked on so many levels. Just when you think it can't get weirder, it does. This is like Ari Aster could have made this movie. This is Bo is Afraid for night. Like, by the way, look at this. Like, put this in the theater now. You'd be like, holy shit, A24, you've gone too far. But you know what? We will break it all down, and I will do it with my co-host. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Jason Mantzoukas!
What's up, jerks? How we doing, Largo?
So, Jason, you and I roughly, you know, we're in a similar age group. I remember this poster. I don't ever feel like I saw this film. Like, it felt to me like it was too young for me, even though
this is...
I was old. Like, I would have been the perfect age group for it.
I've never seen this movie.
Okay.
Didn't know this movie existed.
Got it.
Full stop.
Okay.
This movie is like a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup movie. This is, you got your stepmom in my something wild, right? This is a combination of Something Wild, the Jonathan Demme movie, where Melanie Griffith takes a young Jeff Daniels down the rabbit hole of insanity and crime and stuff, except in this movie, the Jeff Daniels character is a little boy.
I will say, it felt to me like Working Girl for kids with sex work. Like, that's it. It felt like there was an element of that I was like, oh, this kind of worked. Like,
it's
let's do
Stand
it
By
kids.
Me, but present day at the time, but with a sock hop. This movie
and
is a real Rubik's
instead of a
cube.
Dead body? I don't know. We're going to break it all
instead
down.
Instead of do you want to see a dead body, it's do you want to see boobs.
We're going to continue to break this down, and I have to do it with my other co-host. Please welcome to the stage, Miss June Diane Raphael.
Thank you so much.
Welcome, June. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Paul?
Very well. Thank you for asking. Good. June, you and I watched Milk Money today, and at many points, we were ushering our children out of the living room. Like, get out of here. You can't watch this with us.
Yeah, it was... there were many times watching it where I thought, like, I'm going to be put on a list. And I should be. Like, I need to tell people I saw some of these scenes. You know, I need to come clean. I watched it.
I had a flashback, a hint of a flashback while watching this movie. Ooh, didn't we do a movie where Patricia Arquette seduces Joe Gordon-Levitt, who's also a tiny child?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
That was a movie where...
Why do people? And that was Leonard Nimoy. This is Richard Benjamin.
Yes.
Like, what's up with these weirdos?
I don't know. I truly, because also, you know, I'm a coach, you know, for a soccer team, and I've been fingerprinted, and I want to go back and let the authorities know, like, take another look at me, you know.
But I will say, if I'm being fully honest, the most I've ever cried at a "How did this get made" movie was this movie.
Me too.
When we get to it, the number of times I wrote in my notes, I'm crying, ? I'm sobbing. At the end, my notes say, I am wrecked.
Listen, Jason.
When she hugs the backpack, I was like,
Stop. Listen, don't get me wrong. Again, I want to be background checked now, but I absolutely loved this movie.
Same.
I absolutely loved this
Heart
movie.
Same, so much so that, Paul, I'm going to need you to bring out our other guest.
Well,
yes. Because she's the one who introduced revealed one piece of it.
Here's what I'll say.
Oh, boy.
For those of you listening, for those of you here in the theater, a couple of years ago, here in Los Angeles.
Audible gasps.
We did a show where we talked about a movie about a young girl finding herself through an imaginary friend. The movie was called Drop Dead Fred. It was a battle of wills, Team Sanity, Team Fred, and not since.
Team Fred!
Team Fred!
Team Fred!
I need to understand how you're going to define Team Fred, but we'll get into that because I think a lot of people who define Team Fred are actually Team Sanity. Anyway, the thing that I will say is, since that show, this guest has not been on this show. People have assumed that this guest was not allowed back.
They were right.
The truth is, we needed to find the perfect film. You know her as a member of Team Sanity. You also know her from her incredibly successful podcast, Bitch Sesh. Please welcome Casey Wilson. Casey Wilson.
Fred.
Guys, I know we are here to talk about Milk Money, but I just want everyone to know I could do five more hours on
Fred.
We're moving on to Milk
Money.
And
I do think we need to address this to kind of clear the space and clear the air because...
Oh, do we have some Palo Santo to burn?
I do want a new experience tonight, and I want
to
start
I don't want
anew.
It to be antagonistic.
I don't.
We're already, Paul, the way Paul has set the chairs.
I know.
Has set us against each other.
I know. But
now, I will. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to unpack.
It's hard
here.
Because I haven't even seen Casey since that night. I've not seen her, and just to see you right now makes me so furious.
Jason, Casey is one of my very best friends in the world.
Thank you.
Ooh, I'm so mad though.
I know. And what you have to know, and audience, what you have to know is that after that night, Paul and I drove separately to the show, and I got in my car and I called Jason. And we did some time together on the phone. There were a lot of texts going on between the four of us.
We talked numerous times over the next few days.
It wasn't a normal show where you go back and it's like, that was crazy, but like, I was in the parking lot like, fuck them.
Yeah.
They didn't get it.
Everybody who came to the green room after the show had a very strange experience with us.
Very strange. They were trying to find charcuterie, and we were just like packing up angrily.
We were kicking them out. We're like, we don't have time to see guests.
Yeah, Mitch Gerrits, get the fuck out of here.
That was really horrible.
Thank you for the art.
He's so amazing, and you know, he saw our most toxic selves.
Oh,
unfortunately,
yeah.
Well, that night.
I wanted to start this one off a little bit differently because had a great. Listener to the show. He has a legitimate beer company. It's not made in somebody's house. It's called Wrong Crowd, and it's the Where Does the Butt Start Pale Ale.
Wait, what? What are you talking about?
Well, I will pass these out. I have four of them, and I have cups as well. This is it's a legitimate. We Googled it, so this is not poison.
I was just going to say, this feels a lot like poison to me.
I wanted to make sure you don't have to give it to me on stage, doesn't
mean I'm going to drink it. Wow.
But what I love about this beer is, and I got cups if people want them. What I love about this beer is, there you go.
Weird as the boat.
Is that when you drink it, you really get the sense of being and how did this get made? Because if you look at the bottom of the can, it says right there, clear as day, Team Sanity.
What? No.
I wanted to.
I will not drink
get out
that.
Of here.
Nice try.
Stop.
Nice try.
Stop.
Nice try. What does it have? What does it have in it? Insane juice.
A person who named their beer. Where does the butt start? Is Team Sanity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fucking idiots.
I'm so mad, Paul, because what I wanted to do, I wanted to start off differently. I want to start off differently with Casey, and I want everyone to know that. Paul and I talked a little bit about that show, but not that much. Jason and I spent roughly 12 hours recapping it and honestly processing it. Casey, you and I have never talked about it.
No, and I don't even want to look at you.
It was literally like we never spoke about it again.
Never, ever spoke about it once.
Nope.
I had a headache for 2 days.
I was hoarse.
Yeah.
I have to say, you know, tonight is a healing space because... Something else happened that was so surprising. Obviously, Casey revealed herself to be Team Sanity, which was one of the most shocking moments in my life. But I also, today, a real insane moment. Watching Milk Money, I've known Casey since she was 18 years old. I've never heard you speak of this movie.
I love Milk Money.
Thank God.
And I love Milk Money too.
Eyes filling with tears
I
as I'm talking
about also love
it.
Milk Money. I loved this movie
too.
Like in a way that was
too.
Like I especially felt
this is healing.
It is.
That's what I'm saying. But, I think you brought Milk Money.
But I think we love it in the right way.
Oh.
Look, I got a lot of questions.
June and I love it for the right reasons.
Okay.
I have a lot of questions about now, Casey. You said to me like this is one of your favorite movies growing up, right? This is a movie that you saw. So I really want to
in the theaters. Go on.
Okay, I want to dig into what that was like because seeing it as a child, my biggest question was, who is this for? I don't know if this is for boys, girls, 13-year-olds, 40-year-olds,
yeah.
Widowers, or...
This is a real four-quadrant movie.
It's an odd movie because...
What if Porky's, but for Stand By Me, also Pretty Woman, but yeah. also...
Terms
like,
of Endearment.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, like, in the beginning, yes. when the boys are in the treehouse, and he's like, and I'm going to put in this box of the sacred shoebox, a picture of a dead mother. I was like, okay, where are we going
actually,
here?
Go ahead.
Well, I have a quote there. We're not 3 minutes into the movie, and I hear one of the most beautiful quotes I've heard on screen. One boy says, I don't know what it's like to have a mother. Another boy says, we can tell you. And the other boy says, you can't tell somebody something like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
it's a gorgeous film.
There's a lot of incredibly beautiful lines. Yes, from the writer of Free Willy too. Got a great lines.
But then
there
are also scenes where a bunch of 8-year-olds appear to be watching porn.
Yes. All right, wait. Hold on. I want to go back to this box.
Which is
because
cool.
this box is very high concept because what I understand with a box like that is like it's like a time capsule. Let's put things in here. We'll look back.
Things we don't understand.
What we understand in the world is time capsules. We're gonna put our own mementos in here, and years later we'll see it. In this movie, it's like we're putting things that we don't understand in here, and we'll revisit it later to be like, we were dumb. Is that the premise of the box?
I would much rather they return to the box with more knowledge than test things out like a travel drinking cup.
A.K.A.
That is
a diaphragm. By the way.
Like, put it away until someone notices. And you know what? Frank does know what it is.
This is a moment, and I didn't realize this until much later. Diaphragm's not really into the culture as much as I guess it was. But there was a movie called Club Med. It was a movie with Robin Williams and Peter O'Toole, like Club Med or Club Paradise.
Thank you.
Club Paradise. And at one point, Robin Williams says, oh, you got a bunch of diaphragms in your pool filters. And I said to my dad, what's a diaphragm? He goes, you don't have to worry about it.
You actually do need to worry about it quite a bit.
It was said so shockingly that it's always been burning my head. Like, what did I say? Like, we were watching a movie. I didn't understand what was getting stuck in the pool filters. And he's like, you don't need to worry about it. And then I knew a diaphragm is like a breathe, like that, like you breathe with your diaphragm. And then I was like, how is that in a pool filter? And my dad worked at a pharmacy. And then one time I was in the back room getting something from the back and I saw diaphragms. And I was like, what's in this box?
Shouldn't these be in the pool?
Diaphragms to me. That's the first time I've seen one.
But
I have children.
To be fair, Paul, your dad was right. By the time it came around, you didn't need to know about diaphragms.
Don't worry about it.
They were RIP. It's like saying to this crowd, did you know about sponges? No.
Yeah.
It's gonzo.
It really did make me think, like, diaphragms were crazy. The idea of having to, like, put in... Because my question was always, when do you put in a diaphragm? Like, just right before?
I think right before.
Wow, that's... Diaphragm users?
Does anybody want to speak for the diaphragm?
I don't understand how it hooks in. I don't understand, like...
Paul,
I'd love to examine Paul's... The hand motion that Paul did. When he say, I don't understand how it hooks in.
God.
Like a bra glass?
You fold it like a menstrual cup and it expands.
Do you think
it expands in there. So yeah. You don't put it in just like trying to shove that thing in.
But because of what that kid was holding up, I was like, that's it? Like, again, I haven't seen it.
You got to fold it and make like a little C shape and then you insert it and then it opens.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. I thought that you it's just like kind of like, I thought like at the point of entry, you just drop it in front like, yep.
It's like.
Wait, you thought you put it on the outside of the vagina?
Yeah, just as like
and then you
like
put
a
it
dental
on.
Dental dam?
June.
Yeah.
June, you put it on the outside, you breathe deep.
Well, that's what and it made gets, me think I couldn't understand how you would ever do it.
You know,
like, of course.
Because the one mouth is connected to the other.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. I love Squarespace. I'm in the middle of trying to balance my business life and my real life. This work-life balance, it's tough. But Squarespace has been helping me by giving me the tools to reach my goals and have time to celebrate. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the guided design system of Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layouts to styling options optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. You can accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay. Plus, with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about. You choose your tone and enter what you need to get auto-generated perfect text. Anyway, I love Squarespace. I've been building sites with them from the beginning. And when I launched my book, I said I'm doing it all myself on Squarespace, and I'm very pleased with it. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes, that's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better. And that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter. I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these.
I will say there's so many things about this movie. The premise, though, the beginning premise is these kids have access to a lot of porn. They're not only watching.
Where did that porn come from?
The dad?
Which one? Not Ed Harris.
Wait.
The dad who used.
The creep that dad. That dad. Of course that
well,
dad.
Well, all right. So I wanted to just show some of the porn because at a certain point when.
Wait.
Happening, wait. Tom?
Paul, no. Paul, we're going to respectfully say no.
No.
Please,
you're going to learn a lot about me tonight.
Paul.
Hey, get
porn.
Ready to flip that
My
switch about Team
here.
Sanity, Team Friend. It's where the butts start.
This is
here.
Largo. We don't.
Look, I have to defend Paul no matter what tonight.
Thank you, Casey.
You know, on this stage,
you're
I'm with him.
You're drunk on Team Sanity beer.
But here's what I'll say. It's like these kids, their collection of porn is massive. And it seems to me their lack of understanding of sex with the amount of porn they have access to is imbalanced.
Sure.
Like, well, even when they're watching the thing, they're like, that's elbows. Like, keep it playing, buddy. Like, Because
and
when
they turn it off at the best part.
Yeah. Because here we go.
Wait, when do you have that movie?
No, but like it was like I just sort of felt like it was interesting.
It was getting somewhere.
Yeah, like we were about to get there, and they were like, "Turn it off."
I mean, now look
we
at these.
We do need to find Melanie.
This is the porn.
No, but I mean, we're okay. I want to be very clear. We're talking about a movie. You're talking about porn as if it's the porn of today.
Well, okay,
he's
hold on.
Handing someone a Frolix magazine.
Frolix. How about
these
this
are
one?
Like
these
nurses
in bondage.
Still a lot, yeah, Jason.
These are like
Playboy.
Yeah, these are very
1994 porn wasn't like the Stone Age. It wasn't like, you know, a pinup girl in black,
but
like,
they also
oh,
don't
I'm
have...
wearing a bra. Like it wasn't that.
But some of this is that. You know, it is there is a I guess I liked that they were this also reminded me of was it Good Boys? Was the movie
yes.
The Good Boys? Or, right? Yeah. In that, in a way, too, because there was something about, like, this kid selling all of his porn is in school.
He looks like he's got zines.
This is in school.
He's got magazines. He's got a homemade porn zines. He's
Listen.
Got VHS tapes. This kid's running a full business. There's a line up and down his hallway like there was a sneaker drop. No teacher in sight.
They do a good job, I felt like. At least for Frank, especially, dialing in a genuine innocence that right. I believed or that I was on board for.
I totally agree. I mean, listen, until Melanie Griffith shows up at the house, the movie is utterly insane. And I don't know why. I really don't know why they need to see, because they've seen naked women. They've seen
well, that's what
lots
I'm saying.
Like,
the
women,
idea
yes.
is like, what?
But they need to see one in person. You know, there's... And then why she goes with them, and then she does it, you know. And you all have to sit with that.
Yeah,
we all saw that.
That's right.
Okay?
That's what we have to contend with. That's what we're up
what
against.
We
with
did
milk money.
That is
today.
That moment. First of all, them coming into the city. I thought this is the best representation of a city on midday. It's neither like it's daunting.
What city
but
was it?
Cold.
Where they ride their bikes to the downtown of it.
Where
Wait,
was
what
it?
Is it? It's Pittsburgh.
That's
oh, that makes
Pittsburgh.
Sense.
Perfect.
I have a very strong history with Pittsburgh and Mannequin 2, but I will tell you this much. But they walk in, and it's like...
Speaking of where does the butt start?
Yeah, that is. So, but that idea, like, when they get there, it's like, ooh, it's dangerous, but it's also not like... It just feels like adult in a great way. I like the way that they presented the city there.
Oh,
like,
the kids were shockingly out of place.
Yes.
Like, to me, in a good way. And I was like, is this the movie? I genuinely thought this was going to be a kid's... When their bikes get stolen and they're stuck in the city, I was like, oh, is this going to be the fucking movie? And I'm on board for it.
Yeah.
But no, they go straight back.
Well, listen, we need to get to Ed Harris.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's one of his best performances.
Absolutely.
Hands
it's
down.
The most open I've seen him.
Yes.
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 Yes, Casey.
I agree with this. I agree
He's
with all
available.
Of this.
He's
this is to me, I'm like, I'm picturing him going to work on the Apollo 13. Like, I'm tying this into Apollo 13.
No, this
like
is
he
him.
Comes home.
Well, no, I feel like this is the only Ed Harris performance that I've ever seen where he seems emotionally lost and bereft.
Oh, it
yeah.
was
like,
beautiful.
He feels lost.
It was beautiful.
Like, Ed Harris in the greenhouse?
It
with
was,
Melanie Griffith in pajamas, all muddy? I was like,
that
he's got it.
Scene, and the two of them together in those pajamas, muddied. I was like,
with those dog footprints.
Oh my God.
They really were very
compared
messy.
Compared to Ed Harris in like Westworld or National Treasure 2, which I inexplicably
Pollock.
Just watched.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful performance. And
the best moment, though, I think, is when he eats the like the microwave dinner on the lawn.
Ugh.
With his son, and they're racing who can eat the fastest. A great family game.
They are so good at conveying the true desperate heartache of these two, like that they are this pair that feels lost in the world.
I cried when he was taking the laundry out. No, I've never done the laundry for my children, so I and I'm a mother, but it still got me when he was taking it out himself. And
as the person who does all of Casey's children's laundry. That scene resonated with me.
By the way, June got
careful,
so angry with me the other
careful.
Night.
You're going to speak about laundry. Careful. I want to keep this night
we'll
light.
We'll cut this
okay,
out of the podcast.
Wow. All right.
Team laundry.
What you going to say, Paul? Because I know what I do. But go ahead.
I said like this. I said to June, I said, I like doing laundry. And she's like,
you like doing laundry? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, and walked away.
I've never been so disturbed.
Seen such disgust.
What did they like about it? They liked domestic work and doing these household tasks. Like, I do think there's something a little off about you.
But do you mean...
I do.
Did you mean it in regard to, like, because I would say I like doing laundry more than the dishes.
Yeah,
like, in terms of chores ranked?
That's not how he was saying it, Jason. Okay, it wasn't, okay. Yeah.
I like doing the laundry.
Putting things period.
I like laundry. It's fun.
I tried to get you to go to the movies the other night, and you were like, I've got a load of whites in.
Don't get me started. Like, when we go on a vacation, he's barely in the hotel room. He's barely arrived at the place we're about to go to.
He's finding a laundromat?
He's starting to load.
Gotta get a load in.
What could we be laundering?
Well, Jason and I had this debate just the other day. You weren't a part of this. It was part of Last Looks.
Okay.
All right. And we can maybe throw it out to the crowd. Casey, I'd like you to be an impart. I won't tell you the side of it. If you are packing for your children on a 7-day vacation, how many pair of pajamas are you bringing your children? Hold on.
We'll get to you.
For me, four.
Four.
What?
And June?
Maybe five.
Eight?
Eight. 7-day vacation, eight pair of pajamas.
What? On vacation. Why would I do laundry there?
Because I can wear it 2 to 3 nights each.
And she says no. She says no, no, no. She looks at me like
that. For someone who doesn't like to do laundry, that's quite a request.
I believe pajamas, and this is a fundamental difference between us, I believe pajamas are a single-use wear. You wear pajamas.
Audience, insane.
If anything, they're the most used wear of all our clothes. I'll get a pajama top. I'll get an undie a week.
What are you doing? You're just sleeping in it?
I'll go one step further. When I go on vacation, I pack zero children's pajamas. Zero. Because I am childless.
You're doing so much.
Wouldn't it be weirder if I was like 11?
You're doing so much sweating. You're doing.
You're the most clean you've ever been.
The minute I get into a hotel room, boom, 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 58 degrees. I don't sweat.
Cold too, but there's
June is treating
that
like
happening.
Sleeping as if. Yeah, you just got done with the gym, so you take off your clothes and you pop them.
They're the most clean they've ever been.
I am an active sleeper. And our children have woken up a few times with like and come downstairs with like wet heads. They're sleeping so hard at night.
Well, that's because they're in like flannel pajamas 90% of the year.
They look so
cute
in them.
We live in a desert climate.
They look so cute in them.
And we've also had battles about this.
They're so dehydrated.
June wants them in very tight pajamas. Because of house fires.
Wait, you think loose pajamas are going to cause so much friction they'll start a fire?
If a child wakes up, no. If there's a fire, we got to get the kids out quickly. I don't want them to catch a flame.
I've seen them.
Wait, you think they'll be that close to the fire?
I've definitely seen your kids in a tighter cut.
Yeah.
Do you have them? Do you buy regular pajamas and have them tailored?
No, I like them. No, I don't get them tailored.
She'll be like, if they're an 8, she's like, put them in a 6 or a 7.
What?
She knows that she can't defend it.
What?
This is my moment. I've never had this many impartial judges.
Thank God we've never been in a situation where we've had to rush the kids out of a burning house.
Of course not.
But
every night they're in too small clothes. No. In just in case.
My children look like sausages at night.
They're like in all of my dreams, I'm in a spider's web. I'm stuck in a cocoon in all of my dreams.
Sometimes when I put on their pajamas, I'm like, give me.
You put them on yourself?
Through. What?
No, nothing.
Just imagine the entire house in flames and like, we gotta go. And we are grabbing a child and we're running through flames. It could happen.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, the other, I mean, to me.
Yeah, I mean.
If it's not
they're,
about
if
the
they're
tight
so
fit.
Close, if they're so close to the flames that a correctly sized pajama gets ignited, then they're just too close. Then you guys are
don't
too close.
Know. If this could be the difference between life or death.
It's not.
Tiny.
It's not.
But I've also never right seen here. Kids' pajamas that have a bell bottom like
yeah.
that.
It's a. Don't your kids sleep in boot cut pajamas? Low-rise bootcut pajamas are back in style. Holy shit.
Anyway, this movie, you know, Milk Money.
Clothing.
That's
I
a good
say,
edit point. Yep.
Clothing plays quite a role for me when yes. I watch Milk Money. There's a lot of triggering scenes where, you know, I couldn't help but think of the mother that passed in Milk
Casey,
Money.
Yeah. I knew you were
like,
gonna
say she's it. Rolling in her grave, okay? Okay? She's got her son just jonesing to get the dad fucked by Melanie Griffith and just pulling out her old dresses and just giving him.
I was shocked.
It was shocking.
It was shocking. And Ed Harris, I said to Paul, this was a very disturbing moment between the two of us because we watched it together. And when Ed Harris didn't recognize that dress right away,
June.
I was so fucking angry. And I said, Paul, if another woman walks down here, stands in front of our home, okay, with my clothes on, and you don't recognize them. And he goes, you have so many.
Slang.
I found it, and I loved Ed Harris in this movie, and
incredible.
I loved his character so much, except for that.
He did say, when except told, I thought it looked familiar.
But she wears them again. She puts on a different
dress. Oh, she
dress.
Wears multiple
that's
dead mom
absolutely
clothes.
Absolutely inappropriate and weird.
Well, wait, but let me ask you a question. And I'm asking this again. I'm opening myself up to a lot of ridicule here. I don't find her outfits to be that, like, provocative. Like, when we've seen other representations of this profession, you see, like, a lot of maybe leather or this.
I think it's because in this movie, she's got a body for business.
Okay,
all
right. Is that, all right, so that's basically... So basically,
she's
just
got
because
that
she
body.
Has... Just because she yeah. has breath. Because, like, people are looking... Like, when she comes into the school office, she's wearing this... Like, it's a fine outfit. It's, like, it doesn't feel overtly like...
Wait, but isn't that the dead mom's outfit?
No.
No, Jason.
No.
Jason.
Jason, that's her uniform. Jason, those are, like, her fatigues. What? Like, she's in those day in, day out.
Yeah.
That's just standard issue.
It is?
Yeah, that's
yes.
it.
She's wearing...
Her clothes.
When she goes into the school, she's wearing, like, a bodysuit and...
Now,
like,
that, I was like, was that the
but
dead
was that that bad?
Guy, I gotta be honest.
No.
Her clothes in the city are a blue, like, micro
love
dress.
Love that dress.
Right? Incredible.
Velvet.
Like, yep. Insanely beautiful, hot, crazy. And then once she gets... Then she's got the tan overcoat, right?
Sure. Yeah, the trench
yes.
coat.
And from then on, it's the dead mom's clothes.
No, it's only from
this
when they
outfit,
attic.
Jason, what?
Hold on. What?
Jason. She's wearing, like, almost... She's wearing...
Wow, this audience is
okay.
surly.
Noted.
You guys...
Team Sanity.
She's wearing essentially...
That's a Team Fredder right there.
Yeah.
Aww. She's wearing like ever... a very Ren Faire type of look in a way. It's like it's corseted and it's a little like olden days and...
But she really turned heads in it, if you'll recall at dinner. Every extra was like, boom!
Well, yeah, those women everybody in the office are like, fuck you! Like, they hate her.
And
like,
everybody in town, when she walks down the street in town, everybody's like, boo!
I thought she looked amazing. I would have turned my head.
Incredible.
I thought she looked amazing.
Incredible.
Everybody's so hot in this movie. Ed Harris has never looked better.
Ed Harris needs a little bit of a messy hair
yeah.
and an untucked shirt.
Untense.
I like him like that.
Well, he's got an untucked shirt right there.
Yeah, I like him like that.
Oh, no, he's great.
That's not the greatest shot, but
no, I think that's a great
pick of
him.
You know who I thought was so
great.
Cute? The guy who held the gun on the two children at minute 13 of the film. I thought that was so...
But that's what's incredible. There's so much, and we're talking about it like very sweetly, like it's a very almost wholesome story in a lot of ways,
yeah.
And especially because we go, there is a gritty city component, but then we quickly leave it behind for an almost Pleasantville style.
It's like a gal who wants to live in a sweet suburb. And
so much so that we're also participating in the nostalgia for the 50s, which is the leather jacket and the gelled hair and the sock hop at the end of the movie. But that's regardless, we're still faced over and over again with these grim realities. Like the guy who pulls the gun on the kids, and then one of the kids goes, "You saw your sister naked in the shower? I was hiding in the laundry basket." Or, like, that's also part of it.
My favorite two parts of this movie are the arguments between Anne Heche and blank. Anne Heche and Casey Semenko in the beginning where he goes, "You're not a person." She goes, "She's kind of a person." "She's not a person." "She kind of is." "She's not a person." "She kind of is." And then later on with Malcolm McDowell, he's like, "You're not worth a bullet." And she's like, "I am." He's like, "You're not." "I am." "You're not." Like,
but that's,
they let that go on so long.
I'm like, one person couldn't just mix it up a little?
But that's what I loved about it. I really did. Same. I was like, oh, this is so weird and interesting. And her defending not how much she's worth really, but just that she knows she's worth more than a bullet. And I was like, God damn it. I loved her character. I would pay such good money to see a movie just focused on her. When she was dancing outside that sock hop, I'm like, this deranged nutter butter.
Oh, yeah.
So at 14 years old,
she ran away. Melanie Griffith,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, we don't get to know. That's interesting.
That's it. We don't get to know anything.
We don't know much about Eve.
But the movie is all about her.
It is.
Unspooled.
But I think this is not Unspooled,
How
Jason.
Dare you.
Oh, this isn't Unspooled?
No. This is how.
Yeah, that's right.
Made.
This is fun spool.
I think the reason is, of course, if we were to learn more, and I wonder if they cut it out, it would
get too dark.
Please release the director's cut of this movie.
You know, and I have to imagine, because what I really didn't understand about this movie, and I loved it, and this is not a critique. This is a question.
God, no. Because we're putting it into the AFI list. We don't want to critique it tonight. Not
criterion.
Tonight.
I would legitimately put this in the top 5% of movies we've covered.
Absolutely.
You know it only got 12?
I agree.
I mean, I had intense emotional reactions.
What else are we looking for from a movie? I laughed a lot too.
Like Kathleen Kennedy, like that had a sheen on it, that nostalgic sheen that we kind of grew up with.
It didn't have
score,
but it wasn't It didn't have any Amblin-y stuff. It didn't have
Paul,
any.
No
like,
one's on your team tonight,
I know,
sweetie.
I know, and I'm holding my tongue a lot, but
sorry,
I'm going to say the big moment, and please don't be on my side, but not in because I want you to be honest. Yeah. But the way that they like go into making love.
That was him, tough. I'm with you on this.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Him waxing poetically about his ex-wife, and he's like, it's to me, it feels like he's like, if I really focus, you'll be her. And that's it. Because why does this kid even want her to be his mom? They don't even know each other.
Oh.
She's done nothing.
Oh, well,
oh,
Paul.
At the point that he's saying, yes.
Whoa, wow.
Paul,
yes.
He's seen her breasts.
No, he has not.
No, I know.
He's a gentleman.
He's a gentleman.
He ate Cheetos.
Frank is a gentleman.
I do wonder, though, what he like connected to with her, because maybe that's a deleted
scene. How
could
you not connect to her? Oh. She's so effervescent, and she's so
warm. And this is one of her best performances, I think.
Oh, yeah.
When he says,
I do like her.
So this is what it's like. What?
Don't say it. Don't
say it, Jason.
Mom.
Say it,
Jason. I'll cry.
When he says, this is what it's like to have a mom, I was shattered. This kid gets it. This movie... That's why I put it in the top 5%. You know what doesn't make me cry? The rest of the movies that we do, except for The Odd Life of Timothy Green.
No, this movie works on every level.
But do you think, all right,
if I'd seen this as a child, this movie would have felt like it was telling my story. I would have felt like, this, I want that.
Frank or?
Frank.
Who are you?
Yeah, no, I'm a total Frank. I'm not the perv watching my sister shower. And I'm not Kevin, who's like, I think having a Home Alone. He's like, this movie is also almost Home Alone.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, they do these.
They do a bunch of Home Alone kind of, I felt like side
yes,
references.
With the bad guys. Yep. Yeah.
It is interesting that we don't get to know that much about her. And this is where I really want to tip my hat to Melanie Griffith, because we don't get to know. We don't understand what happened at 14. We don't really understand why she also wants to leave over and over again. Like, I was like, this seems like a great setup. Stay here. You got clothes.
Well, I think
you got a treehouse.
Yeah. That nice little treehouse up there. You got the wetlands. Like, what?
Well, I think that because she can't be honest with herself, right? She's living a lie. That's why she wants to leave. She doesn't want to live a lie. She wants to be Eve. Not V, Eve.
Well,
but
she
for her
know-
to be Eve, she's got to admit to being V.
Well, no, but for a lot of the movie, she thinks that Ed Harris knows what she does for a living and accepts her.
And they play that
her.
Game out beautifully. That first scene, I laughed.
And that's what we're talking about with Ed Harris. That, like, whatever that likeness is,
yes.
I'm like, oh, he is great. Oh,
it's an incredible
scene in the hands of, like, and I hate to put us all down up here, and I don't mean to, but just so sorry. But, like, wow. Just a comedian, like, it would have played too jokey. I thought he played it gorgeously. And I didn't mean to put you all down. Wow. Everyone's
why
so
did
quiet.
We have to take it?
But here's,
why do you have to diminish us in order to?
No, but you're right. You're right. We would have leaned into it too much.
I will speak for myself.
It's
I would have leaned
touch.
In a little bit.
So you're saying that Jason
touch.
And Paul, if in that role,
and you,
there you go.
I think I could do I could pull off an Ed Harris in this movie role.
I'd like to think I could too. I'm worth
I
more than a
for the Malcolm list. McDowell. Get over here.
I feel like I would only get. I feel like I would only get the opportunity to play Casey Samasco.
That's
but,
the thing.
But boy, would I like to be Ed Harris.
I would like to do one of those things that they did in that Wayne's Brothers movie, Little Man, where they put my face on a child's body, and then I would play one of the children.
I do think you're right, though, Casey. It that scene for her,
and
too.
I should have put others down to make that point. Like, I'm so
that
sorry.
Really was tough.
I know.
All right, so I'm going into Netflix. You guys get to greenlight all the movies, right? And I go, All right, so the fun thing is.
Oh, you know, we're big fans.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you
so
much.
Oh, we're big fans. We're so excited to hear what you
so
came
much.
In to talk about.
Love the podcast.
So,
do you want any water, Paul, before you start?
I got plenty of water. I used that little soda machine in the front. It was great.
Do you want to get validated now, or?
I talked to somebody out front. They had we got the validation. So, but if I go, so yeah. So when we get to the middle of the movie, we'll have we'll have the sex worker dress up, cosplay as the dead wife, and then we'll put the dad and the sex worker up in the treehouse, and the dad will just kind of talk about how much he loves the dead wife, and he's really not over her. And then they'll, like, fuck.
Wait. Will they fuck or make love?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, make love.
Because here's the thing. Here at Netflix, we're not interested in fucking. We're interested in making love.
But, I mean, that is, like, what happens. Like, I guess I just feel like Ed Harris isn't over the loss of his wife.
He just has never dealt with it because he's put the photos up in the, you know.
That's a win.
She's giving him a window to get at it.
She's pulling both of these people out of the absolute devastation and heartbreak and grief and loss that they are in. She is a lifeline for both of them.
It's true. It's hard to say
and
that.
And in lesser hands, it would have been an insufferable movie.
I would argue that most people who saw this felt it was an insufferable movie.
Wrong. These people are wrong. Just keep in mind, you're agreeing with Paul?
What?
Huh? 12%
on
the tomato meter.
Interesting.
But I think those numbers are off if three of the four of us are in love with it.
I know.
Also,
people are watching and they're trying to connect. Okay, I'll go there. Yes, I agree. Ed Harris is great. But there are some things that are fucked up here.
Okay,
there we are not talking about. We are like a family, like not like I was once told that there was a member of my family that somebody kept in an attic, and then we're like, wait, what? And they're like, yeah, we never talked about her. That's weird, but we like that's like the kind of stuff that's going on in this movie.
Name like six crazy things that happen in this movie. Money where your mouth is. Like what? Do they let the kids drive a car? One working the steering wheel, one the pedals, and then the steering wheel pops off.
Right.
Then they're almost hit by both two twin
how about this
big
moment?
Rigs
with,
and then a train.
With an line? Adult in lift the car up who just seems to not be able to get over to get the wheel.
How about this moment when Melanie Griffith talks to three 12-year-olds and says, "Take off your shirts."
Oh.
Oh, good. You're not hairy enough to be dangerous.
Yeah.
That was a last line.
And there was a cab driver.
You were concerned?
I love that line. 12-year-olds?
If I'm that cab driver, I'm reporting that.
The cab also, driver was sadly, reacting like I was.
That is the part they would give me in this movie.
I would have been the wife of the guy who had slept with Melanie Griffith.
I felt the same thing, Casey. I was like, that's my role. There it is.
By the way, like, another weird thing that happens, that someone in this town is actively using, like is has a little black book. He's like, oh,
and
hey,
we get a
B.
scene. We get a scene where he, an individual scene, where he, Kevin's dad.
We went home with him.
Creeps out of bed. Peeks if his wife is asleep.
It was
tip,
shocking.
Tip, calls the escort service and bitches them out because Melanie Griffith is inexplicably in his town.
I didn't understand
He's
that.
Like, hey, control this woman. She's in my town.
And by the way, the escort service is just Anne Heche. But yet Anne Heche and Casey Semansko work for Malcolm McDowell, who works for Jimmy
Everybody's
the Pope.
Got a boss, Paul.
Did you not learn anything?
And in that moment, though, why does that man get out of the bed and then redo the sheets as if he was never there? To what end is he? Who is he tricking? His wife and him clearly went to bed together.
He goes downstairs to make a call. If she wakes up, he wants her to think he never came to bed. Instead of, I was just having diarrhea.
I found it fascinating, though, to your point, Jason, about what this movie tackles. Like, to have gone home with this gentleman, to have also seen the moment where his son realizes,
yes,
after his dad is such a hard ass and so particular about this and that, that his dad is cheating on his mom.
Dad is a liar.
And is a liar.
And the kid goes full Pigpen.
He does.
This kid Pigpens
such
himself
a story.
In Act it 3. Was... I mean, Kevin... The third kid in the crew has a full arc.
He really
in
does.
In Act 3,
and
he
it
goes
arcs
full
out beautifully.
Pigpen.
You know who I also loved was the actress that Frank ends up with.
I did too.
Incredible.
Incredible.
I did too. Now
the little
I
brunette who's fantastic.
And she's wonderful. I didn't understand or I didn't see the lead up to that. I was really quite
shocked. Oh, it's in there.
It's in there.
Oh, she is pining for him.
It's baked in there. But you didn't see it from
Frank. She wanted him. I didn't see it from his
eyes. I felt it was like we're watching through Frank's eyes. So Frank isn't noticing her the same way the blonde isn't noticing him, but really he is noticing her.
Okay, so what I thought or what I was hoping for was that what Frank was learning through his father really connecting emotionally with V was that it was more important to see someone's heart first.
I think that is
that
right.
Is right? Okay.
I thought at the
meanwhile,
end.
Meanwhile, point. I only have eyes for you is playing, right? Like, it's the sock hop. I mean, incredible song, devastating song. He gives the leather jacket to the blonde, right? And then he asks the brunette to dance, and I start sobbing.
Again.
And I write in the thing, all caps and exclamation points, he chooses the brunette.
I need to get you all into therapy.
Were you identifying with the brunette?
Of course I'm identifying with the brunette.
Yeah, we all are, yeah.
Never picked?
We all were. Oh, we all were.
Come
and then
on.
A gunfight breaks out when a British man runs in there.
Oh, just...
Again, if you eliminate
everything.
47% of this movie, there's maybe some moments.
You know
where?
What did, you know
what
else?
What did your dad say? Don't worry about that.
Yeah. You know where else? Like, here's another moment I cried at. Another moment I cried at. Ed Harris again, just incredible performance. But I really want to give it up to this kid too, because when Ed Harris says, "She's a Grace Kelly, isn't she?" about Melanie Griffith to his son, I was like. And he's like, yeah. I was like, brr.
She's not. She's not a Grace Kelly.
Neither was the mom.
Neither was the mom, though, Paul.
Why do they have to be a Grace Kelly? Can't it be like My wife, my beautiful wife.
Like Borat?
Like it's like,
you wanted it to be Borat?
The person I want, she looks enough like her that I will marry her. And then this person, by proxy, it's like it's a weird thing.
No, no, no.
It's like I wouldn't keep up these things.
It's so hard to break from Paul, given the last show I was at. But you need of this.
Isn't it weird, audience? Thank you.
Wait, is
can you raise your hand if you did like it? I just show hands. Show hands.
Who's on my side?
Can we get house lights? Now, who's on the right side?
Very few.
Okay, so
one fourth.
So a few of them are more with Paul.
I would love to drill down on the numbers and the data a little bit more.
I will say for those listening, it is the beautiful people who agree with us.
Majority rules, baby.
I watched it and I was like, why are we doing this?
This might be a moment for me to go out here with my people.
Jason, I wondered that too.
Let's see what they have to say because maybe they have a point of view. Yes, okay, sir. How are you doing? All right, what's your question?
Assuming that they're together at the end of the movie, two of his friends, his best friends, have seen his mom's breasts, and one of their dads has had sex with him. That's a really
weird... I literally never thought of that.
I never thought of that, but what I...
Boom.
What I loved... No, not boom.
You guys are so caught up in detail.
You know what?
Who cares?
You know what, though?
Who cares?
I feel like
in
small towns like
this,
that's the shit that's going on, man.
Honestly,
yes. If you ask around in your friend group here in Los Angeles, who here who's with someone that they're in love with has fucked one of that person's friends?
I see one hand. One hand, and now I see his person that he's with.
One hand this man has put up.
This is a hero.
Two hands.
And here's what I'll say, and this is why I love Eve so much, is that she's not trying to be his mom. In fact, she says multiple times, I'm not your mom.
I'm a friend of the family.
Well, I mean, she's behaving in a way that if she was his mom would be truly insane.
That's what but she's not.
He doesn't even know what his mom is. He has no time with his mom.
Paul, he's learning. He says, so this is what it's like to have a mom.
But then she is his mom. But
no.
She owns the ice cream store.
Tell me why I'm right.
I mean, aren't there laws against what's going on in this movie? For a reason?
Name them. Yeah. Name those laws. Name them.
He's right. There are laws.
She's not fucking this kid.
No. And not
she
only that.
She considers it. That's what we're not talking about. When he says, teach my son how to fuck, she's like, okay, I guess. I'd rather fuck you, but I guess I will teach your son how to fuck.
She doesn't teach his son how to fuck.
She thinks about it.
I forgot that, too.
That's definitely something that happened.
You're making this seem gross, and it's wholesome.
Okay, so first of all, team laundry. Second of all, we haven't talked about the classroom scene, about teaching the sex.
Okay.
I'll give this one. I agree.
This is weird.
That was a bridge too far.
But here's the thing.
But here's my problem with it, if I may.
Please.
My problem with this scene is Frank is failing this class. He needs this presentation to
pass. Why
not? But he does it all with Melanie Griffith in the room and the teacher's locked outside.
I would argue that what he's doing as a presentation is incredibly, like, safe and sanitary. Like, he's not doing anything
Are you worried it's not sanitary?
Well, I mean clean. Like it's like, it wasn't like he got in there and taught them how to fuck. Like, which is what that scene should have been. But what he did
expand on that. What do you mean?
What I'm saying is, they treat that scene where he locks the teacher out like, oh, I'm now going to give you guys something the teacher doesn't want you to know. And what he does is just do a straight up biology report with a human subject who's in a leotard. Like, there's
But the kids are thrilled.
Yes.
But like what I'm saying is there's nothing.
Yeah, but it was like, whose benefit is this for?
Right.
He needs the grade.
He needs the grade. And that would have gotten him a good grade.
I agree.
Grade, I
this scene. This scene genuinely
is harder to defend.
Makes no sense. It really doesn't.
Because she totally should have been teaching him how to fuck.
There are, let's be super.
I'm not saying that I want that.
Wait, like,
but Paul.
That's like what it was.
Paul, you keep coming back to that.
I
just want to say, the person who agreed with Paul before, do you still agree with Paul?
No.
Does Paul represent everybody here?
What I'm saying is it's written in a way that it's supposed to be scandalous. And it yet is not. Now, look, I had a sex ed class taught by my gym teacher where he put a dildo in the shyest girl's lunch bag. And while she... All right, I'll back it up.
What?
So there was this very nice girl.
I think this is the kind of stuff you need to understand about how Paul receives a movie.
So upset.
Honestly, I was agreed. Yeah.
So I went to a Catholic school and
this is why Paul had trouble with milk money.
And our head of phys ed was teaching our sex ed class. And there was a very nice, shy girl in our class. Very shy. And
as devastating as milk money. Go ahead.
This is worse.
I'm really upset.
She went to the bathroom and he was like, guys, watch this. And he took out like this, like not in a very graphic dildo, but it was like something we'd show how to put a condom on, right? It wasn't like something like ball is in veins. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, the audience doesn't need to scream veiny. Veiny.
I appreciate you.
Girthy. Girthy, veiny. I know we're doing milk money, but try not to jerk off audience at Largo.
So he
you
takes,
fucking creeps.
He takes this penis substitute and puts it in her lunch bag.
Penis substitute.
Penis substitute?
Okay, class, I'll be your penis substitute. Your teacher's out, your penis is out sick. I'll be your penis substitute.
So,
now I'm on board for Saturday night.
So, she comes back into class and she starts to open her brown lunch bag and he goes, Patricia, what is this? And he then goes into her lunch bag and pulls it. Oh, what is this? What do you have in your lunch bag?
Such a cool thing. So funny. I'm sure she received it the exact right way. Oh, this poor girl.
Now, we're all in on it because we saw him plant it. And
you co-signed
my
that.
God. So no. You didn't speak up.
And so
I would have said, I'm sorry, that's mine.
And then he went like this. He's like, oh, I'm just joking with you. I put that in there. All right, now moving on to chapter two.
Now, that's how he learned about sex.
Listen, here's what I'm not going to debate. There are many things that are absolutely inappropriate and against the law, and I didn't like seeing her even when she was teaching him dance. I didn't like seeing her dance over him.
I didn't love that.
I didn't like it, and I, you know, but I actually...
Although I thought it was kind of creative with the thumbs.
That part of the dancing I loved.
Honestly,
when she danced over him in her skirt.
Oh, that was crazy. Right.
But he closes,
like
he does
that.
This again.
Right.
No, but that was...
But that's great for him.
Drop Dead
do
Fred
that.
Looked up his mom's skirt. Anyway, go
that
ahead.
That was bad.
Drop Dead Fred wasn't a real character.
Absolutely.
Seems like he was.
Let's not do this right now.
I will go into this if you do
your question.
Not start.
Hello, my name is Melissa. My question is, well, we've already touched on the fact that there was the kid hiding in the hamper and saw his sister naked in the shower. There seemed to be a few other incestual undertones, like when they said that Melanie Griffith's character was Ed Harris's sister, and then the family was watching them from outside, and the mom was like, I wish you two would be close like that. So just curious about your thoughts on the...
that. Honestly, served I saw it, and I heard it. Casey also has a very close relationship with her brother. So, and some
oh my
questions.
God!
I am particularly...
Is that why you like this movie?
I really
Is that why you
it.
Like this movie? Because of the sibling relationship am, depicted you know between what, Ed dude. Harris and Melanie Griffith?
My husband says my brother and I have the biggest will they, won't they.
Exactly.
I have...
It's
I,
weird.
Me, I have heard you say about your brother that he's your lobster.
It's weird. So I also am very sensitive to that, especially with siblings. I don't like it, okay? But what I appreciated about this movie and that scene in particular at the ice cream shop, which, you know, V will come to buy with $250,000. She'll also buy a convertible and all
and
of the wetlands.
That
it was 1994. You could get
How
a lot.
How much could the wetlands cost?
Yeah, oh, no. Like, oh, the hey, wetlands are $3,000.
Ed Harris, sell your house.
By the way, kids, sell that porn. Buy your dad the wetlands.
But here's the thing. No one else cared about the wetlands except for him and V. But
by the way, that was a cute moment when he tied himself to his own truck. I really enjoyed that moment.
So sweet. I love him so much. But so I'm sensitive to that. I don't like those kinds of jokes. I'm not... You know, I'm not interested, but
seems like you do on a bunch of occasions.
Whoa! But in that scene, I actually was like, they kept on cutting back to that family, watching them almost make out. And I was like, wow, this is what's so special about the movie, the amount of time they took.
Yes.
With those reaction with shots family. And that scene developing, because it wasn't just like a gross out reaction shot of like, ew. It was like,
it builds.
No, it builds.
It's a and joke. It's, like, it's a good build. Because yes. What I liked about that was, yes, of course there's an incest joke. I did not like the incest joke about the kid watching his sister in the shower, because that is.
I didn't care
bananas.
For that one bit.
That's like straight up creep stuff, right? But this is a misunderstanding because
yes.
of a miscommunication and a lie. They think these are brother and sister. And then the step-by-step, well, are you sure it isn't brother-in-law or sister-in-law?
Yep.
And then they start, I want you to make it. They, I thought that was also very
and
funny.
And we also get to, we get some backstory on that random family that these siblings are struggling.
By the way, I want to bring our attention to something. Oh, I don't want to bring it, but I'll say that I've noticed, but you haven't raised your hand until now, or at least I didn't see it. We've had, last night and tonight, two wonderful babies here
what?
In the back of the audience. And I
Where?
Saw you all last night. People said, oh, you missed them. I said, well, I didn't want to call attention to it. But now you've raised your hand, so I feel like I can go over.
The baby have, raised
these
its
are,
hand?
These
oh, my
are,
God, they're
the milk
so little.
Money is for everyone.
Is,
guys, the babies,
are,
I have an update, are so little. It's
these are
crazy.
The littlest, cutest babies.
How little are they?
I can't even express how cute they might be the cutest babies we've ever had.
Oh, my
at
God,
a lot of
I
show.
Want it. Can I have one? You've got two.
Can I? Well, let me. I know you raised your hand, but how old are these babies?
They're 4 months old.
4 months, and they are cute, and they are twins.
Yes, they're twin girls, and this is Evan Jane and her sister Elliot.
Oh my gosh!
These are the best babies.
Evan
ever.
And Elliot. Can I have one of them? Whichever
I
one you don't
can't
want.
I can't get over how cute these babies are. Like blowing the roof off of cuteness here. All right. So, what is your question?
Well, first, I just wanted to tell June that one of our twins is named after you. We...
June, you got to get down here and check out this baby. You got to check out this baby.
We need a picture, June. We need a picture.
Paul, you weren't lying. They're absolutely beautiful.
There's steps here. There's steps right here.
Elliot June? Tonight's too much. I love you too. Oh my gosh. Paul.
Oh my
it's a
God.
Pretty insane sight.
Give me another baby.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. Go visit these babies.
Oh, wait, and so just for clarity's sake. Neither of them is named after me? I mean, I'm on record as loving babies and wanting
This has been an amazing, beautiful moment. But you have a I want to make sure I get your question if you have one.
We had a lot of conversations about this movie, having 4-month-old twins. And I was wondering, June, if you were to pass on, God forbid, and go to the big stage in the sky. And Paul somehow found himself in this situation. What would you hope he would do?
By the way, this is a great question.
We
you
repeat
did
it,
top
Paul.
Yourself.
What would you
And by
hope-
the way, it's something that June and I talk about a lot. We do.
What was the question?
The question was, if you die, what do you want me to do? Would you like me to be in a situation like
this? So it's interesting. I actually did think, well, we did talk about the clothes. I will say it now and I'll put it down. No, I'll put it down, you know, for eternity and in this podcast, and we all can hold Paul accountable. I want Paul to move on very quickly and find someone else.
Very quickly. She says it very quickly.
I do.
And I told June, die alone.
I do. Here's what I want, though, is like a full, I want a celebration. I want so much fanfare around the passing, and then I would like Paul to he knows he has my blessing. But just put away my clothes
and
stuff.
You have to clap
stuff.
For that.
Yes.
But so
one
you're,
person
but,
clap.
What you're saying is you're fine with him moving on as long as he doesn't dress her in your clothes.
I don't want my stuff
in
there.
In some sort of weird cosplay of you.
I don't
and
want
as long
that,
as I keep my children in tight pajamas.
As long as you keep the kids in tight pajamas. And I would like a number of pictures up. I didn't like that he kept all the pictures of her away. That felt really wrong. I'd like a couple wonderful approved photos.
Oh, God.
And then live your life. Life is for the living.
I would love if your
wow,
will...
very generous.
If your will was just like, these are the approved photos.
That's such a good
By
idea.
The way.
I'm going to do it tonight.
By the way.
I'm going to do it tonight. Thank you, Jason.
Honestly, thank you, Jason.
Yeah.
Guys, you're welcome.
Here go back. All right, here we go. One more question. What do we got?
Ed Harris was fully ready to go to jail. Who was going to watch Frank?
Oh, great question. Ed Harris was
here's
ready to
deal.
Go to
jail. If you don't mind me saying, here's the deal. Frank's been basically on his own this whole time.
That's true.
Ed Harris is barely a parent.
But by the way, also has no family, like no aunts, no anything. Like it seems
Frank
like...
Frank is, I would argue... Frank is in many ways raising Ed Harris. Ed Harris, it feels to me to
That's
be...
That's a better title, Raising Frank.
Is it?
The title is interesting.
The title is unsettling.
It's unfortunately it's sexual it's for how much the movie is based around boobs.
Yeah.
Milk Money plays no part of the story because
they do yes
no,
it
they
does
give their
oh
money.
It's
they
referenced
say it's milk
it's
money
wait a minute you said milk money is in no way part of this movie except for when they say milk money
but milk money is like not even a like they didn't sell milk to go see a woman's breasts
okay wait a minute milk money doesn't refer to the selling of milk it's the money you're given to buy milk at school. And these kids are buying porno with it. They're giving these guys their milk money. Like, hey, give me your milk money is what a bully says to
you. Right.
Not the money you made selling milk.
I was...
Hey, dairy man, give me your milk money. However much you've made selling that pasteurized moo juice.
I was a milk attendant.
Attendant?
In my school.
What does that mean?
We're back at school?
I wish I was presently
a milk attendant.
All right, so I would go into the milk locker, and then I would say, all right.
The milk locker?
A big, giant freezer
or
refrigerator. And I would go, okay, so Mrs. Meyer's class, they need 12 milks because 12 kids paid for that. And then I would boom, boom, boom. And then I would stack them up in milk crates and then bring them to different classes.
That's what I call opening someone's bra, entering the milk locker.
So.
Hear me out.
But one of the things about being a milk attendant is you could shave some money off the top.
Cool!
Do you know that the statute of limitations is up?
I'm
you're
free and
skimming,
clear.
You're skimming off big milk?
How much?
Because everyone, it was a dollar of milk, and so they would put it in the thing, and then you'd have
okay,
all that
so
cash.
Now I understand how you misunderstood the title of the movie. Because for you, milk money is something very real.
Yeah.
As a milk attendant, going into the milk locker and skimming off the top of milk sales. You're some sort of milk. Some sort of milk embezzlement scheme. You're the Michael Milken. Come on. The Michael Milken of Long Island.
I could walk away with a few bucks in my pocket and free milk.
So you were also taking chocolate the milk for free.
By the way, because you could have chocolate Ooh. Or regular. And I take the chocolate for myself. Didn't
wow,
have to pay for
and
it.
You're lactose intolerant. Is this why?
You're
when
like
I was
the
a
Henry
milk
Hill.
And I didn't know it. Yeah.
You're the Henry Hill of your school's milk. You're like just a little
milk
taste off the
top.
Dude. When I went to school, so my dad worked in a pharmacy, and I realized very early on that, like, I said to my dad, I was like, can you order, like a case of bubble tape and all these gobstoppers, and I would bring them and then sell them in my school out of my locker. I would
Always
sell.
An entrepreneur.
I would get, yeah. I had wholesale candy in there, and everyone would come, boom, boom, boom. And I would, like, you know, you get like a whole thing of bubble tape for like 12
your
bucks.
Your childhood is like one of the kids in the movie.
Yes.
Which makes me confused why you don't like the
I
movie.
I think it's triggering him.
Is it too close to home?
Way too close.
Well, then I also made deals with this kid on my bus who said his dad kept all of his porn in his locker and I would give him money and then he would free the porn and then I would be able to distribute that porn to other people.
What?
Yes, Paul.
What are you talking about?
I think
about?
You have a lot of... Paul, I think you have a lot of Frank-like qualities.
You, yes. This is your life story.
I did bring my friends into New York City one time. We went to Show World with fake IDs. And then...
Show World is a strip club.
And I went there as a 12-year-old.
Paul.
And...
You had a fake ID?
Well, you went to the store and you got an NYU ID and it said I was a college student, but I was only 12. And then you showed it to the people at Show World and they would let you in. I think they knew I wasn't in college. But
oh, you think? You think? I like that there's a little, you're not quite
you're
sure.
You're like, I was chewing on my bubble tape.
Think they knew I was 12.
I was Gobstoppers.
And there was a moment where I was walking around Show World as a 12-year-old. And this woman approached me and she said, you want to watch me take a shower? And I said, no.
Paul, and
this
movie.
This is crazy.
Paul, this movie is your life. Did you sign away life rights?
Is that why you're mad? You didn't make a cut? Yeah.
Just feel like there could have gotten some better moments in there. And I remember that moment because I was like, I don't want to watch you take a shower, so I'm going to wait outside Show World. And I hung outside Show World and talked to the bouncer for a long time. Oh. While my two other friends were doing whatever they were doing.
Watching someone take a shower,
sweet,
but
probably.
Before we got to Show World, this guy was like, you want to like meet a... This is crazy. He's like, do you want to meet a sex worker? And we're like, yeah. And he started to lead us down an alley. And at that point, I was like,
this movie is your life.
It's a movie.
By the way, I just want to go on record. We are
I've
2 hours into the show.
I've never heard of
And
any
only
of this.
Now are you inadvertently admitting and realizing this is your life story on film.
I did not put it all together. And as we were walking down that alley, I said, this is bad. Let's go. And then the guys said, where are you guys going? Where are you guys going? And we're like, we're going to get out of here. And I pulled my friends out and then we went to Show World.
Yeah. The only difference is he didn't have a gun like this guy did.
He might have. We didn't go down far enough in the alley. All right. I feel like I revealed.
Will you just let Tim ask his question?
Of course. Tim kept his hand up the entire time knowing that, okay, we were coming to the end. Tim, what do you got?
I'm a school teacher, and whoever wrote this movie has no idea how school works. The dance has zero security. You aren't allowed to leave your students alone to take a phone call.
But what about in 1994?
Yeah.
Well, I can't speak to that. But
when I was a kid, I mean, it was pretty free.
It's Pittsburgh. It's Pittsburgh.
And she says that he needs to pull his grade up by giving an oral presentation with visual aids and footnotes?
How do you give footnotes during...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I thought where we were heading with the class was that he was failing math.
Same.
And I was V is great at math, and we're actually going to come around to the fact... We're not buying an ice cream store. She's like, I'm going to start tutoring.
It would be great if that was one of her skills.
And here's where the movie is limited, right? Like, we don't get to understand is what her goals are beyond motherhood or beyond just sort of like suburbia, if she has any other interests. And so I'm wondering that the whole movie, and then come to find out she's purchased an ice cream shop. And I was like, wow, wouldn't have... I didn't know she
Yeah, did they tap that? Like, at one point, was she like, oh, one day or anything?
No! I think she just... She also, by the way,
this movie is crazy. She drives off at the end without the dad and the son.
She's like, peace. She's like, I'll see you later. And they're like, are we going to see you again? And she's like, yeah, I own the ice cream shop.
But that's what I loved about the ending was we didn't end on them together.
But they are. The presumption is they will be.
Of course. However,
we're going to rewind and kind of restart.
She needs to restart her life. And I thought that was such a powerful choice. And
that was so radically undercut by the last line of the movie, which is from Frank. It is repeated twice and is, I have a hair. I have a hair.
And the last line of the movie is dangerous.
He rips his shirt open as if he can feel it growing. She drives off and he's like, it's happening.
Watching his dad get fucked gives him, like, makes him go through puberty.
She bought the wetlands. I write here. She bought the wetlands. She bought the ice cream shop. I'm sobbing. What is wrong with me? I wrote that in my notes.
But I am worrying about her finances.
I totally agree, Casey. I think she blew it all.
Like, I wish it was $1 million, you know, even for that time. I felt limited with
94? With 94 is a quarter of $1 million.
Okay. Here's the great thing about sex work.
She just bought so much.
I know, but she has something to fall back on.
Plus, Ed Harris seems to be doing fine. Whatever he's
financially,
up to, they have a beautiful house. They live out in the suburbs. I mean, they're not living in a flop house in the city. They're living in the suburbs in a beautiful. They're living Mad Men life. What's that?
Medical malpractice.
Because of the dead wife?
Yeah.
Zoinks. Do we know that?
Deleted scene.
Do we know that?
We don't know it, but something went wrong.
Oh yeah.
Obviously.
Oh, when Frank says that she died at the moment of his birth, at the same time he was born, that he knows that, I was like, oh, this kid is breaking my heart.
It was devastating.
I just wish someone would name a baby after me.
They haven't yet.
But you know what? Obviously, there's a lot of opinions here, but tonight we're going to hear some other opinions too. And now it is time for second opinions.
Milk money movie, sex positivity, normalize the body, and hesh RIP. All the critics clutching their pearls. I give it 5 stars, I'd give it the world. Oh, sex work is work. Oh, sex traffickers are jerks. Grace Kelly, wetlands, leather jacket, learn to dance. Freedom from Caligula, fresh start for a new romance. Second opinions, here's one from me. Certified fresh in 2003. Oh, slut shaming hurts. What's up, jerks? Sex work is work. Sex work is work.
Thank you, Jen. Here we go. Thank you for that. Oh, great. Pass it back to you. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Liam.
That was amazing.
Jen, what did you put on the microphone?
Oh, it's a microphone condom.
Great. I loved it.
It's a diaphragm, yeah.
Diaphragm. All right, these are second opinions from Amazon.
I noticed it because she put it just against the microphone and it got sucked right onto it. That's how they work.
There are 775 total reviews. 80% are 5-star. Let's get right into it.
80% are 5-star?
Yeah,
that's right.
Only 2% are 1-star. Right. From William L. Hendricks, he writes, cute, some funny, some serious. Melanie steals the show from Harrison Ford. Just a good, lighthearted story about how business goes. So I just want to read that end one more time. Just a good, lighthearted story about how business goes. All right. Ramon Villalobos writes this. Was a little distracted by the children in this film attempting to render the services of a prostitute. Certainly this is not legal, but she seems to go along with it, ? And the love story between the aforementioned prostitute and one of the boy's fathers. But as an environmentalist myself, I was moved by the story of one man's quixotic attempts to save a marshland from the ravages of capitalism.
5 stars.
Ed Harris thrills as a man almost blindly focused on his attempts to save a precious ecosystem to the point where he ignores his own son's longing for parental guidance and criminal activities. Very cute and should delight the entire family. Highly recommend. Oh, one minor critique might be the utter, U-D-D-E-R, lack of milk in this film.
Whoa!
5 stars.
You agree with that part, though.
I do agree. There's not enough milk
as
in here.
As a milk attendant.
Milk attendant.
And please write a follow-up called that is a follow-up that brings this universe that's a Jeremy Renner movie called The Milk Locker.
This one is written by Ward. Very funny movie, and the acting was very realistic. There were many times when the man in the movie was saying something that was interpreted entirely differently by the female, which made for a very funny situation. The plot was very interesting and unusual. That classic man-woman scene there.
Unusual.
All right, so that's what we got, people. I mean, we really broke this movie down.
Oh, I could go for hours more.
$20 million budget, opening weekend, $5 million. Made $18.1 million. Came in number 80 of all the movies of 1994. The top movies of
80.
Yeah. The top three were Lion King, Forrest Gump, and True Lies.
It's a hard year.
Yeah, tough year.
It's a hard year to break through. You know?
This movie did beat Street Fighter, Ghost in the Machine, and Double Dragon. But it was beat by The Specialist, Time Cop, Disclosure, The Shadow, Junior, and Color of Night. A real banner year for How Did This Get Made?
Incredible year.
Big year for us on the show. And some of the titles it was in other countries we've been doing this. Choosing Mommy, that's in Argentina.
Paul, I just didn't hear you. What? Yeah.
Choosing Mommy, that's Argentina.
Cool, if somebody could just isolate that and make a song out of it.
And in Greece, Jason, your homeland, it was called A Woman for Daddy.
Yes! You would be shocked how often I say those exact words.
In Turkey, this movie was called Little Womanizer. And in Canada, this movie was called When the Kids Get Involved.
That's very Canadian.
I think I could tell from the way that you all speak of it, you highly recommend this movie.
Yeah. There's some scenes in the movie that should not ever be seen, you know? They should be cut. They should be animated. I don't know what should happen, but something should happen.
Is one of those scenes when he says, I want to make love?
No, you know what one of the scenes is that's like absolutely should be like none of us should be able to watch? Is when the little boys are ogling the little girls walking into school and the camera gives us
a POV shot. I was going to politely sidestep that scene.
That's the shot where I was like, I can't.
Absolutely.
Am I in trouble? What is this? I shouldn't. Is this allowed?
Is this a trick?
It was... Again, we have to know that, you know, we have to know that that's a part of this.
Yeah, we have to take responsibility,
and yet, there are, this movie really, I was really connected to the characters. I love that they didn't end with her and the kid and the husband and the house. I don't even know if she's going to live there. I don't know where she's going. You know, I picture her living above the ice cream shop. And I think that's great. I really do. And I really enjoyed it. And it really spoke to me when she said, you know, what'd she say about where you can touch a woman and her heart?
There's their one heart. Special place. Oh, that part was a weeper.
See, I cried. By the way,
I cried then. So I cried when she held the backpack.
I will cried. Argue that the reason why he goes to, he's like, oh, that's where you touch a woman. He goes to touch his heart. And he's like, a hair.
Oh,
I bet you're right.
Yeah.
But he feels it through his shirt.
Well, he's like,
no,
he's like,
yeah.
Well, June, yeah, you can always feel him.
Oh.
He's trying to finger his own heart. And he's
whoa,
like,
whoa. Wow.
Casey, it's been so lovely to have you back. Welcome back to the show.
I'm so happy to be here.
It was really healing.
Thank you all so much for having me. It feels really good to be back, and it feels like we mended some things.
I think so, and I think we needed this time.
To heal. And I want to give a shout out. This beer is incredible.
It was really
good.
Genuinely
loving it.
Yes, this is from our friends at The Wrong Crowd. That's the beer company out of Chester, Pennsylvania, with their Where Does the Butt Start Pale Ale.
I wish I could drink it.
And by the way, it says in the back, it says, what's up, jerks? We got a hot tip to try out experimental hop variety. Well, it goes on to about the beer. Now, there's a couple of references to our show, but it's not enough for me to read the whole thing.
Team Sanity.
But I appreciate it all. Casey, you want to tell us anything you want anyone to do?
Do you want to reconsider any of your opinions on Drop Dead Fred?
Don't want to go back there, Jason.
Fair enough.
I host Bitch Sesh Podcast, if you like housewives and comedy. And I'm just so happy to be here, and I really feel better about you, too.
Wow.
Thank you. I feel better, too.
Yeah.
June and I will talk about it on our phone call later.
I'll call you.
Yeah, well, we'll be there. All right, thank you all for coming out tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Casey Wilson. So great to have her back. Make sure you check out Casey and Danielle's Garbage World. It's a brand new home of Bitch Sesh, Garbage Sesh, and so much more. It is an amazing new podcast empire that they are doing. Just go to Casey and Danielle's GarbageWorld.com. That's Casey and Danielle's GarbageWorld.com. I bought a subscription for an entire year. I'm getting on the Discord. I'm getting bonus episodes. They are absolutely amazing. Now, we talked about the tour in the last episode. How did this get made? Going on the road on the East Coast. We've added an extra date. That's right. We've added actually two extra dates. I'm talking about Boston on August 8th at the Wilbur. We were at the Chevalier. We sold out. Now we're going in town to do a show at the Wilbur. We also are right on the verge of adding a brand new New York show or maybe a New Jersey show. That's right. If you are north of Bergen County, you're going to want to hear this. Anyway, keep up to date on all the tour announcements by going to hdtgm.com. But right now, you can get tickets to our second Boston show. Go to the Wilbur/artist/how-did-this-get-made, or like I said, just go to hdtgm.com. It's just that simple. I want you to know that we always have t-shirts, great t-shirts, and while we won't have a t-shirt of my long story about going into Times Square, we have some great ones in our shop at tpublic.com/stores/hdtgm. We will be back next week with all your questions on all your observations about Milk Money. Plus, Jason and I will sit down, relax, and have a chat. I appreciate him filling in for me on the last looks episode. And if you want to add any of your thoughts, just head on over to our Discord at discord.gg/hdtgm. We will see you next week for Last Looks. And until then, bye for now.